Join the conversation on Cape Talk.
I saw during the time I was on leave, and this is my thought process. I stroll through social media, I read the websites, and when I see something interesting, I screen grab it and I put it in a little WhatsApp folder, which I created for myself, a little group of which I'm the only member. And then during the course of my leave, I then sort of see that with the producers. I think this is interesting. I think this is fascinating. Oh, this would be a great Leicester test, and I'm sure it's going to be, because the studio smells absolutely amazing. I'm not some uncouth troglodyte who knows nothing about wine or liquor. I know that mead is a drink that has been around from everywhere, from Egypt to China. But when I think of mead, I think of medieval England and goblets of mead. Pour him some mead. But I thought, let's get the real mead people in studio. Ernst Thompson, Ernst Thompson is the founder at the Cape Mead Company. It was your ad or some festival or something that I saw. I screen grabbed it, I sent it to our producer, I said, when I come back, let's talk about this. And I don't see mead being discussed generally, or mead being stocked at my Tops or my Checkers, Liquors, wherever I go and buy a six-pack. I would think it was something that's of a bygone era, but you're saying, and you want to make mead a thing.
Thanks, Lester. Thanks for having us. It's actually a great opportunity for us, because most people, like you know and what you've read, and know mead, but very much from the medieval festivals, the Vikings. And it's actually been popularized by the show like Game of Thrones, where it's actually the fastest growing alcoholic industry in the US. But it's got a very like that medieval feel about it. And we've basically taken mead to make it much more modern, to make it much more accessible to wine drinkers, beer drinkers. And yes, we're in the early stages, but that's what we're hoping to do. Yeah. So we're trying to modernize it to for a different palate. And as we go through the ones today, you'll actually see it changes a lot. But the harsh reality is that although we all know from the medieval times and stuff that that's where our memory of mead is, the reality is it actually all started in Africa. The oldest example of mead is actually kari, the Khoisan word for mead. And that's been harvested and actually made by the Khoisan long before any of the European or medieval nations popularized it. And that's actually our brand name as well, the curry, as a homage to the Khoisan. And I think it's important because, like you would have sake when you go to China or Japan, that kind of thing, when you come to Africa, you should have the original African drink, which is definitely mead, no doubt. And it was probably discovered accidentally by bees living in a hollow in a tree. It started raining, the bees left, and it started fermenting. And the Khoisan found this, and they found it quite pleasant.
Because of the natural sugars that is found in in honey with the rain and
the natural yeasts. Yeah, so there's always yeast in honey. I mean, the only reason it's not active is because the honey is so concentrated, the sugar. So as soon as it gets diluted with water, then it will go.
I've never seen, I never tasted mead before. And I will taste, but just for the record, I have a little spit cup here next to me. I have to be responsible as well. There is one thing you said I should have, at least let it go past my gullet.
Yes.
But we'll keep that for for the very last. When I've never seen, tasted, and when I think of a honey wine, I think it to be as viscous and mellifluous as honey. But this is clearly not. This looks like a the color of a very late harvest for me.
Yes. And I think we'll go through the first one. I'll introduce the first one quickly. This is what we're known for. This is our Meloria. So this is a MCC style mead. So this is primary fermentation is done. It goes back into the bottle and it lies on the lees for 18 months. So it's exactly like champagne or MCC.
So mead's sparkling mead.
Mead, yes. And I think it's this is our, the word honeymoon, for instance, come from mead. So it's enough mead or honey wine to last your whole moon cycle. And that's where it comes from. So this is really, really old stuff. I mean, it's by far the oldest alcoholic beverage known to mankind. And the only reason it disappeared, basically, is the farming of sugar cane, barley, grapes, which was just much cheaper. And that actually took it in the realm of royalty. And that's also, if you look at the Game of Thrones show, that's who drinks it, the royalty.
I was expecting, like, you know, chalices and goblets, but in front of us are a lovely demure teardrop wine glasses. Where do you want us to start? Because I have a bit of a dry tongue. I think it's because I've been smelling all these lovely smells. And again, I assure you, it's not going to go past my tongue.
So I think let's start with the champagne, which is quite dry. I mean, there's a touch of sweetness in there, not just to break the dryness and actually like pay a little bit. It's actually more South African palate thing. For the European market where we export, it's much drier. The South African market do like a slight touch of sweetness, but it's still very dry. Mm. So you can start with a bubbly one.
For the record, I'm no winophobe. Not winophobe. Not an expert. I was going to relate. I'm no John Maytham when it comes to wines and the complexities and tannins and all those things. I like something if it tastes good on my tongue. But what do I have here in front of me?
So that is the champagne version. Mm. So it's not quite as cold as it should be, but it's basically just bubbles. And it actually is a little bit like a sweeter. The way to describe it is like a So it definitely got that very strong aldehyde characteristics from a very old champagne. But I think taste-wise, it's probably just like a really good Prosecco. Mm. So, and then that touch of sweetness definitely puts it into
honey. There's a touch
honey.
Of sweet and is it a little bit of wood in there?
Not too much
what is
wood.
That? I find a earthiness in it.
Yeah, so the earthiness comes from the secondary fermentation. Mm. So the yeast actually, because of the long periods and with the honey, it actually gives it quite an earthy note. And most meads, if you cut the sweetness, it's got this touch of earthiness to it. Mm. But that's also dependent, obviously, depending on what kind of honey you use, it will taste very different,
obviously. I want to get into that, about honey and what's it called when we have product substitutes and things and could adulterate the market. We'll get into that in a short while, but let's take a sip.
Yeah, please
first.
Do.
Are you also... someone who has the great respect for a wine glass or how it's stirred and always mead separate to wine.
No. I mean, I think if you
just sluck them.
Yeah, I just have a sip. Okay, I mean, we don't have enough to compare it really to. If you're going to have like 10 different kinds, then sure. Have a taste and a smell and all of those kind of things. But I think this is pretty straightforward because it's so new for most people that I think just have the experience.
I'm not a dry wine fan. No. So this is in my ballpark. I would be able to sip on a few glasses of these in a go. Because if I'm at an event and I'm past a dry sparkling wine, for the cheers.
Yes.
But this is exactly something that I could...
And I agree, and that's why we've actually back-sweetened it a bit, to make it more palatable for our general African population, our being South African. South Africans do tend to have a slightly sweeter palate than, say, the Europeans. But it does just add that touch of like sweetness and make it more palatable.
Are you actively trying to target a traditional wine table, grape wine drinking market by, you know, with mead, or is it something that, you know, could complement your cellar? Or are you maybe finding that I'm a wine drinker, I don't drink honey, and there's maybe a little bit of an elitism in that?
That's definitely in there. I mean, in the beginning when we started producing this, there was definitely that, like, wine drinkers, honey, there's that perception. And often the smell is already sweet. Mm. So it programs your mind that you can receive something sweet in your mouth, and that's not really the case. Mm. So wine drinkers is difficult to convince to switch, but we're slowly getting there. I think that was our biggest marketing strategy from the beginning, because we don't really have something like mead drinkers in South Africa.
Yeah.
It's not something that today I'm going to buy a bottle of mead and go and buy. There's a small part of the population that might do that, but it's a tiny part. So we have to target your traditional beer drinkers or wine drinkers with this.
Because, our relation to alcohol goes with other activities. Brandevin and Coke is for me with rugby.
Exactly.
You know? A good bottle of wine goes with a really good, plate of food. And how would you want to associate mead with another activity.
Yeah, so we've been very fortunate that actually our products, especially champagne, the first one you've tasted, has been picked up at quite a few top-end restaurants like Salsafee, Test Kitchen, Fane, and those kind of things. So they pair it quite often on their menus, and that's great exposure for us. Mostly they will serve it with white meat, so like duck, chicken, that kind of thing. Or desserts. Obviously, you want that sweet note on the nose and stuff, but not necessarily the sweetness in your mouth because you've got a dessert that's quite sweet already. So it's often served and paired there. And that's done great for us in terms of exposing the wine drinking group to it, the wine drinking population of South Africa. Obviously, the biggest problem is just you're dealing with honey, and honey is just a lot more expensive than grapes.
So let's talk about that. How do you then source? And there is a lot of talk in the consumer market for honey of the adulteration of honey. Imported honey that gets mixed and maybe just a fructose syrup that is then added just to elongate the, you know, the
vat of sugar, the cheaper, yeah.
You would obviously have to source 100% pure organic honey.
So, I mean, we use specific suppliers, mostly from Zambia. The reason being is that South Africa's got great honeys, but it's actually relatively small suppliers. They can't produce the quantities I need, especially in a growing business. And then South African honeys are generally quite special. So what I mean by that, they've got a lot of flavor to them. So Fynbos honey, if you taste Fynbos honey, it's very unique globally. And that makes it very difficult to make, say, for instance, champagne, where you have to produce 4,000 or 5,000 bottles a month, because there's just not enough. And the Fynbos literally comes and climbs out of the glass with you. It's so herbaceous, almost to a slightly medicinal character.
They call it the botanicals.
Yeah, the botanicals is extremely strong. And that's not necessarily something you want in a champagne version of this.
Okay, let's move on. What's the next glass? And I have been cheating. I let three sips go behind. So I really need to pay attention to this one. We're speaking to Ernst Thompson. He's the founder at Cape Town Mead Company. Are you a mead drinker? I personally have not met anyone who would attest to being a mead drinker. The first time I found it, when I saw an ad somewhere on social media or website, ask our producers, let's get them in. I'm quite fascinated. And I was thinking of goblets. I was expecting quarts. I wasn't expecting champagne bottles.
And a good old flagon.
Okay. What's up next?
Okay, so the next one is again for the wine drinking. So this is a pyment. So this is half Chardonnay and half meat that's wooded for a very long time. And this goes great
with
oysters.
So you can have hybrid drinks.
Oh, yes, big time. Like the Braggot, Fry Tux, the Braggot. A beer honey mixture. That's generally something for summer. But yes, absolutely, you can have hybrids. This is very nicely wooded. The honey like brings it slight easier on the throat and stuff. But this is very much for wine drinking palate.
Yeah, I got a little bit of bitter, and then afterwards that honey flavor just sort of soothed the front part of my tongue. What would you pair this with?
Oysters. Very good with oysters. And also just like general fish, seafood. It's like any wooded Chardonnay. I mean, it's very heavily wooded, but I think that helps with like bringing out a different character in the mead and also in the Chardonnay, actually.
We're talking about an alcoholic beverage, and we have a listener ask, can you get drunk on mead? Well, the answer is yes, of course.
Of course, yes. I mean, it's got exactly the same amount of percentage as normal wine. So it's normally sitting at 12%. The pyment we just tasted is actually sitting more to 14%.
Is it?
Yeah. So, which is often the case for wooded Chardonnays.
I only let one slip go past.
Okay, let's move on. The time is running out.
Don't worry, we're enjoying the meat. It's okay. That's okay.
Yeah. I want you to taste all of them, actually, because I love the look on people's faces when they try it the first time. So the next one is actually traditionally what meat will taste like. So this is what people expect when they...
And this has that very, very golden color. If I were to swirl it to me, there's a little bit of viscosity in there. It looks a little bit thicker, maybe even syrupy. Look at the legs on that one. That's something I have learned. Yeah.
And most people will buy this. This is actually quite nice. This is more like a muscadel. You can see
this is
like an aperitif kind of...
This is an aperitif.
Nice.
With a muscadel or a sherry, you smell the fruit, the grapes. I know that is grapes. This, that does smell like honey.
It's honey, out and out honey. Yes. And this is probably, if you go anywhere in the world and you ask for a traditional sweet meat, this is probably what you're going to get.
Okay, here we go. I'll have a small taste.
And this is just delectable. This is just something you can drink, a little bit, sip.
No, this is... this is sitting in the sun.
Cold then.
Yes, no, this is sitting in the sun. I was going to say, I would... I would throw an ice block in here for, and this is sitting in the sun and getting lost in a bottle of two on this overlooking the pool. This is very summer.
Yeah. Well, it's actually quite funny you say that because in Europe, they actually drink mead in winter.
Seriously?
Yeah. I mean, that's a traditionally wintry drink, like, because it's like that warmth like that. But again, South Africans be different.
Mach brand nou 'n bietjie. In terms of the... like, I had a bit of red wine last night. I'm suffering a little bit, not only my head, but also my stomach. And I'm someone who is now reached that age where I may have to go on to chronic tablets for indigestion. I enjoy wine, but it causes that little discomfort. What about mead?
It's a little bit of myth. I mean, because obviously there's no sulfur in here, which is the beauty about meat. The pH is quite low, so you don't actually have sulfur or anything in there. So you're not generally going to have that sulfur hangover, which is like a big part of why you get hangovers and also give that uncomfortable feeling. Listen, that's a bit of a myth. And a lot of people that drink meat say they don't get hangovers. I'm not so sure. I think if you drink enough, you will get a hangover.
Anything enough, you'll get hangovers. Yeah. We reaching to eyewitness news. You've saved the best for last, which we'll do after eyewitness news. But already people are asking, where do we get price ranges? As I admitted, I've not seen this on even a well-known store, and what bottle stores are consider have big variety. I haven't seen it. Where are you looking to market to?
We're in quite a few bottle stores.
Do you think
we're slowly expanding it?
Maybe it's because I think it's bottles of wine and I don't read the label.
Probably, but it's also difficult to find because, like, where do you put it on the shelf? And if you don't know what you're looking for, you're not even going to find it. We're slowly expanding, but our website, you can order from our website, and we're obviously always looking for distributors and more people to stock our products because we want to get it in everybody's hand as quick as possible, make it easy. But on our website, it's got all the details, how to order, where can you find it, in which bottle stores, that kind of thing.
We're speaking to Ernst Thompson. He's the founder of Cape Town Mead Company. If you're a mead drinker, a mead quaffer, let me know what's your experience. I've been enjoying some of these tastes, and I'm looking forward to tasting something very, very special, which has even come in its own decanter in a short while. And Ernst says that I'm going to have to slick at least this one, because this he made particularly for Leicester Tester.
Monday to Friday,
9 a.m. to 12 p.m.
This is the Morning Review with Leicester Kivett
on Cape Talk.
Still in studio. I'll try that again. We're still in studio with Ernst Thompson. He's the founder of Cape Town Mead Company, giving me a lesson in mead. His thesis, it's probably the world's oldest form of alcoholic beverage. He says finds its roots here in Africa, particularly sub-Saharan Africa, and more particularly the southern part of Africa, in the Cape, in the southwestern Cape and northern Cape, in mead, in fermented honey wine. It's just been such a fascinating discussion that we've just been having off it. And I was discussing with you earlier and was re-examining this glass of the mead, the pure mead, not the MCC or the sparkling. And I thought I got a little bit of fruitiness. I'd asked you what that is, and you said there's no fruit in there. It all depends on where you collect your honey. And we were speaking earlier about how different plant species, types of nectar, the sweetness of the nectar could then impact on various bottles. So if you were to collect honey in the Overberg, or you were to collect honey in Hopefield with different biodiversity footprints, then you could have different tasting meat.
Yeah, correct. And it's even worse than that. So you must remember Hopefield and in the South Coast is all fynbos. So it tastes very different because the fynbos is very different in both areas, but it also varies depending on what flowers is flowering. So it's the big seasonal differences as well. So the bees collect, obviously, which flowers are open at which time of the year. So you can have honey from in summer months, which is very, very different to winter months. So there's also that variability you have to contend with. And that's what gives the traditional sweet meat those characteristics that you pick up on the nose and stuff. I mean, you must remember these styles like a melomel. I'm not going to go into technical, but that's normally where you can add fruit. So you can add apples or any fruit, watermelon. You can add any fruit. And that's actually a very popular style in big drinking meat drinking nations.
You've been saving the best for last for me. But before I get there, when we look at the agricultural industry, the wine growing industry or the grape growing industry in South Africa, it is a large part of our economy in terms of jobs, in terms of output, in sales and taxation, etc. But how much honey? Let's just say you have I don't know how much is in a regular vintage or output of table wine, but how much land, water, area, honey would you need to make the same as the South African output of table wine?
Sure, a lot. I don't think there's enough honey supply in Africa, at least. I mean, you'll struggle to get enough honey to produce the same output as that. But you did touch on an interesting point, and I think it's worth mentioning. So, for instance, that bottle of champagne mead that you see there, to produce that bottle, the amount of water that's going in there is about 25 liters. The equivalent of a wine, an MCC and that kind of thing, is going to probably be 500 liters of water. Oh. So there's a big distinction in sustainability between mead and grapes. Because you don't have to water the flowers, it's natural. You don't have to like plow the fields, like that kind of thing. So it's actually a lot more sustainable mead. And I think that's going to start talking, especially in our market like Germany, that it definitely starts having an impact.
I think that's fascinating. Yeah. But you screwed off the top of an old thermos flask. And he says, this is what I want you to try. And as soon as Ernst opened up that top, the studio smelled of hot cross buns, or my grandma's hot cross buns a few days before Easter. The spices, the aromatics just filled the studio. And that is a mead glühwein that you just opened.
Correct. So this is something we're launching. I tried it last year a bit and it was very, very popular. And it's definitely something for winter. It's the whole idea of having like a traditional glass of glühwein. My opinion, just much better. So this is being launched now. This is the bottle in front of you. And this is a very familiar. So if you're from Europe and you go to all these Christmas markets, the smell of roasted nuts and mulled meat, which is also called a meat glühwein, that's what hangs in the air. And it's your very traditional spices, cinnamon, cloves, cardamom, star anise, that kind of thing that goes in there. Oh, wow. And then also a touch of herbaceousness. Just to keep it South African, there's a little bit of buchu in there, just to give it something different. And a bit of lemon geranium, for instance.
They say it's good for a cold. I'm currently fighting off a cold.
Oh, that will work.
But of course, you poured it, it came out of the flask, it was warm, but it was presented here in front of us. So the temperature...
It's not quite great anymore, but it's still warm.
Let me just enjoy this. This is hot cross buns. It's the cloves and the cinnamon there and the sweetness from the glaze of the hot cross buns all in here.
And I think this is perfect to share on a cold night. I mean, there's no doubt about it. This will go well.
Yeah.
Everything that's good about a glühwein is in this glass.
I have to go again in the interest of medical science. Oh, that just... there's the orange in here as well?
A tiny bit of orange zest and even a bit of lemon zest. So it's... I mean, it's just like... It's just beautiful.
It is beautiful.
And I think the best part about this is that it actually speaks to whether you're a wine drinker or beer drinker. Everybody likes a glass of good glühwein in winter.
This is family and care.
Yes.
Next to a fire.
Yeah.
lots of questions now. Where do we get? Yep. What is your marketing plans at the moment? Online sales, what do you do?
Yeah, so you can go to our website, capetownmeadery.com. So on there, you can see there's a couple of shops we're in. You'll find it there. You can order it online, but we're always looking for more partners. I mean, just like I said earlier, we need to be able to, within 5 kilometers of your house, you have to be able to go and get this. And that will take time. It's difficult when you're small, but we're slowly getting there.
Look, as a small business and a small industry, and particularly something that we're not familiar with generally in South Africa, I wish you all the best of luck. But let's just talk quickly about the South African appetite. And when I think of South Africans, South African men, it's beer, brandewijn, and on the other side it is wine. It must be very, very difficult for a small player or a new player to come into a market of very established and entrenched tastes in South Africa.
Very much so. But I think, you know, you just have to keep it at it. Like interview like this, articles in the Daily Maverick, those kind of things. The exposure is growing quickly. And I mean, there's also a groundswell of hobbyist mead makers coming now, especially with lockdown. A lot of people started making mead. And there's actually a very nice, if you're interested, there's a SAMA group, South African Mead Masters Association, where all the hobbyists come together and they start making mead and ask for advice, that kind of thing.
So when people were making pineapple beer, they were also making mead.
Yeah, a lot of them preferred the mead.
Thompson, is there a website where people can be directed to?
Yes, capetownmeadery.com.
Capetownmeadery.com,
easy to remember. Yeah.
This was an excellent and fascinating experience. I will keep my eye out of it, particularly the glühwein.
Yep.
It's going to be a cold winter. It's going to keep me lots of company.